Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, y'all ready for some Penn State talk?
Let's do it, Jimmy. College football, Penn State, kind of all the same. Love talking about it. Keeping me engaged during the summer. So therefore, hopefully all of our listeners and fans out there, we're keeping you engaged as well.
Well, I'm glad you clarified and said college football, because we're going to do mostly college football in general, although we'll obviously do things from a Penn State angle. And first off, Andy, I want to hit on something new for us to try. Every once in a while, I've done things where I've had a question or an issue that I want to address with everyone who's on the show, you know, through the week. So I decided, let's title it. Let's call it our six pack. Okay. So I figure six pack is something all of us can relate to. And what I want to do is ask each one of you guys to list some kind of list, a six pack, six on the list for my particular question. And what I wanted to start with was something a little bit different, but I think very intriguing. I want you, Andy, and I'm going to ask the other guys, I'm going to ask Jeff and Chris and Landon the same question. I want you to give me, other than Penn State, the six teams in college football that you could phrase it any way you want. Your favorite team, teams you like to watch, teams you like to root for. But those are teams you see they're going to be on TV. You've got to watch them. You like the team for some, whatever the reason is, Andy. So you're the first one we're going to start this with. So you're the leadoff man. Better make it interesting or it won't be so good if we continue. We'll lose our audience. But I think it's a fun topic because I know you and I are huge college football fans.
We are.
It's not just – there are sports where you just have your own favorite team. When they're on, you watch. Other than that, you don't watch. Not like that for me and you on college football. So I want to know, Andy – who are your favorite teams? Give me the first one on your list.
So I'm going to call it my six favorites, right? They're favorites for different reasons. You could list any or all the above, but I'm going to tell you why each one of them is. We're going to start with the second oldest dog in my book. That's, notice I said dog. It's Georgia, right? I've been a Bulldogs fan since 1988. I can remember it. That is the year. That season was the first time I went to a game in person between the hedges. I used to listen to the Georgia games on radio in the late 1980s because I was living in Georgia. I caught Vince Dooley towards the end of his career when I started. I was always a fan. Herschel Walker is one of my three favorite college football players of all time. And I watched him on TV when he was a kid. I endured the ups and downs of the Ray Goff era after Vince, the erratic Mark Richt, where there were he was always close but no cigar, but he always seemed to have some of the best players in the country when he was the coach. And now Kirby's dominance. It goes back to 1988. I've been a Bulldogs fan. I walked between the hedges in Athens, Georgia, and just immediately knew I really, really think this is cool and special. I'm going to root for this team. So Georgia's first on my list. Been that way for a lot of decades.
Not a bad choice, obviously. A team with a great tradition. I like the fact that you brought up Herschel Walker. He was such a dominant player. I'm not sure young fans know just how dominant he was. But he ran into the Penn State defense, Andy.
Oh, of course he did, Jimmy. Right. Yeah, here comes.
And
they shut him down.
They did. They had a habit of taking Heisman Trophy winners and making them very human. Okay, hey, not a bad call at all with the Georgia Bulldogs. I don't have a problem with that pick, Andy, especially since you have the geographic tie that you spent time there in Georgia. That makes it legit. I'm okay with that one. All right, who's number two on your list?
So this one might surprise you. I'm an NC State. I like NC State. I always felt like the Wolfpack, they were sort of a football underdog on many fronts. Plus, I've always thought they've had, even through the decades, they've always had some of the best uniform combination in college football, in my opinion. And I'm sorry, right now there is no better helmet than the wolf on the side of the white NC State helmet. You can present anybody, all of you, you can present all your options for great helmets. They're all second place. And that's just my opinion. But NC State, and most recently, more than anything, I loved how they've stayed true to their coach, Dave Dorn, and let him build. Look, Dave's not like an electric personality. He's not a very exciting football coach. He's just kind of really solid at what he does, and he has kind of been building and flying in NC State at the same time. And there were some, it has not been a smooth sail. There's no doubt about that. It was full of some choppy seas and some buoys that you couldn't see. But the patience that NC State showed with him, it's kind of rare these days. And I kind of respect and have enjoyed watching that. And that's made me enjoy watching them even a little bit more, that they probably could have fired Dave twice at least, maybe even three times, some fans would say. It's just an okay stadium and a venue. It's kind of cool, but it's just like everything else. It's not really one of those places you would put as a destination, but I think it's a cool place because it's in the South. I love stuff I love football in the South to a degree. You probably tell that already. But I'm an NC State fan for a bunch of different reasons. I've been an NC State fan for a long time, and I will always watch and kind of root for the Wolfpack.
That's another pretty good call. I like the fact that you mentioned the coach there, Andy, and he's had this is going to be his 12th season there.
Right.
And NC State, they haven't been winning championships, but I think, and I realize, and I'm the first one who say, you know, college coaches, they're paid lots of money. It's hard for me to feel bad for them when they get fired. However, with that said, I think so many schools, they overestimate what they should be or what their capabilities are. Correct. Oh, we're only 10-2. Why aren't we 12-0? Let's fire that coach. Correct. And NC State has stayed with their coach. I admire that, respect that. Another good pick of yours. You know what, Andy? I'm not going to do my six with you, but I thought throw in one or two, you know, through the week of teams that I have. And I want to start with one of mine. I'm going to say Utah. And I have an affinity towards them for, I think, a couple different reasons. Really like their coach.
Yep, Kyle.
Solid, consistent.
Yep.
I liked when they went into the Pac-12 because they were a different kind of team than the finesse teams of the Pac-12. I liked they play tough. They play hard. And interestingly enough, the Penn State-Utah Rose Bowl 2 years ago made me like Utah even more. I liked how hard they played. I liked how tough they played. And I absolutely love their quarterback, who's coming back just this year after injury. It's like his seventh season, I think. But he really, I think, is symbolic of what Utah football represents. He's a tough kid, hard-nosed. I root for Utah when they're on TV, Andy.
Yeah, I think you hit it with Kyle because he Frank Sinatra, right? He's done it his way. I did it my way. He has built something in a place nobody thought where a college football power program could be built. he did it there, A, and B, he did it his way. And their identity is a reflection of him. And you have to respect that. I kind of like that call. I don't think they're great in big games sometimes. I think they get close, but no cigar. But that's also parcel and product of, you know, who they have to play and where they are. But I do enjoy.
Remember though them beating USC though in the conference championship game 2 years ago.
Beautiful
USC with all the star power, all of that. And we often talk about recruiting at Penn State is tougher, you know, middle of Pennsylvania, middle of nowhere. How about if you're in Utah, Andy?
Yeah.
How tough can recruiting be there? So anyway, that's one I wanted to throw out there. So far on your list, you have the Georgia Bulldogs, the NC State Wolfpack. Who do you have next?
Ole Miss.
Ooh.
Best tailgate in college football, the Grove. Sorry, everybody else. Great tailgates. I think Penn State has a lot of fun. I think Penn State fans have a lot of fun, and I enjoy watching you in person have fun. But everybody else, tailgate-wise, you're in second place. They play in the best name rivalry game, the Egg Bowl. Best name rivalry game. That's just my opinion. Generally, they're sort of what I call an SEC junkyard dog to watch in that they'll continue to fight uphill against the better teams, and then it takes so much out of them during the course of a game that you kind of know a football car crash is coming from them. And they generally deliver that kind of football car crash and they lose the game, right? But even, you know, despite all the coaching and time, they're never really a boring team, Jimmy. Even when they're kind of bad, they're never really boring. And I kind of respect that. And again, you know, my apologies, uniforms. The Ole Miss eggshell blue uniforms and helmets with the red mixed in and the striping, just simply majestic. So for all of those reasons, I kind of throw Ole Miss is in my top six.
You know what, Andy? I love that pick. Love that pick for several different reasons that are going to go over our break here, but let me start with the uniforms. Oh my God, they're fantastic.
The eggshell blue and the helmets. Oh.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. You just glance at the TV out of the corner of your eye. If Ole Miss is playing, you know it's them. You know it's them. There is no question, no doubt. Love that. Unique color, unique uniforms. And Andy, I'm going to follow up on a couple more reasons why I thought that was such a good pick when we come back in quarter two.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're having a fun show today. We're going for Andy's six-pack of favorite teams in college football, other than Penn State. Because I know, Andy, if I allowed them in there, they would be number one on your list.
Nope. Nope.
Good radio here. Andy is shaking his head and saying no, no, no. You finished up your top three. You had the Georgia Bulldogs, the NC State, and Ole Miss Rebels. And I know there's the connotation with the Rebels that there's a negative to it, but it's a cool name.
Yeah, it is a cool name.
What you also have to factor in there is the Lane Kiffin factor.
Well, that's more recent, yes.
He may be a lot of things, but he ain't boring, Andy.
Nope.
And the one other thing that Ole Miss has going for him, which I like, is in the Southeast Conference, they're not one of the known powers, you know. For me, it's hard to ever root for Alabama. I have nothing against them, but it's just hard for me to root for the team that wins all the time. Ole Miss is kind of on that periphery. It's easier for me to root. Ole Miss plays Alabama. I'm going to be rooting for Ole Miss. So I'm going to throw in another one of my favorites here, Andy, just to break up your list. I'm going to throw out there, and this is the only team within the Big Ten that I would pick out, because mostly the rest of the conference are teams I do not like. But I'm going to say Rutgers. Okay. And the reason for Rutgers, a couple things. I like Schiano going there. I like Rutgers as the underdog. I like the way Schiano fits there. They're tough. There's a Jersey tough attitude in how he plays. And I'll add to it. One of my good friends is a Rutgers alum, Rutgers fan. And you know, Andy, when you have to go to your better half family for holiday events,
right?
And you're just, they're talking about stuff that I do not care about at all. Well, my friend Mark from Rutgers, he's always there. He gives me someone to talk to and something to talk about with college football. So, and just to add the cherry on top, he also happens to be a Mets fan. He and I always have something great to talk about. So I'm paying attention to Rutgers so I know what to talk about. And yes, I will root for Rutgers every week that they are not playing my Nittany Lions. All right, Andy, that was my second one. You've got three in the books. Who's next on your list?
Clemson.
Ooh.
I've been a Dabo Sweeney fan since day one of his tenure. I've always been a Dabo fan since day one. He became Clemson's head coach. I've always loved the venue. Death Valley, it just always kind of seemed sunny and nice there, no matter what. Like you put the TV on, and you're like, oh, look, the Clemson game's on. Oh, look, it's beautiful and sunny in Clemson, South Carolina again. I've been a Clemson fan for a long time. I'll be honest, it started because, you know, Woody Hayes. And I'm like, well, you mean bully, don't punch them. So that's when I started paying attention to Clemson. And so I remember that Clemson would get to the cusp of greatness by their standard, sort of. And then they would sort of Clemson it, right? Like, and I've enjoyed Dabo Sweeney's tenure of not sort of saying, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to embrace it. And sort of removing that from one of the program's talking points. I think the uniform combinations are simply one of the best around. The orange, then you've got the all white. The purple doesn't fit, but why does the purple feel like it fits with a little bit of orange sprinkled in there when you're like, why is Clemson wearing purple? But, and the last thing I think is I like that their fan base always thinks the Tigers are better than they actually are. And that was including even when they were winning national titles, Jimmy. I think Clemson is one of those fan bases. There's a few of them, but Clemson strikes me as one at another level that, it doesn't matter whether they win 7, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14 games. They always think they're better than they are. So for those reasons, Clemson makes my list.
What's tough for me with Clemson, there was a time when Clemson rose up, the Dabo Sweeney kind of the aw shucks kind of attitude, the cool orange uniforms, and they were rising up and beating the Giants like Alabama. And also just to clarify, when you say, you know, the Clemsoning it, that meant losing a game you shouldn't lose, okay? Correct. And Clemson was famous for that. And they rose up, took on the Giants, and slayed them. Now, Andy, it's almost like for the same reasons, the all shucks attitude from Dabo Sweeney feels like it's getting old.
It could be.
They're no longer that underdog rising up and slaying the Giants. They're a Giant themselves now. And although I think a lot of people might say Dabo's attitude towards the transfer portal, which he's obviously not an advocate of it, and it went from a positive to a negative, I think, very quickly, to the point of, Dabo, you need to do this. It's the rules. It's the way college football is going. You're cutting off your nose to spite your face. And also, although he clarified it, he seemed to be pretty negative about the players getting paid. Now, he went into a lot more detail. No, that's not exactly what I meant, all of that. But for me, the whole Clemson thing has gotten a little bit old. That's my take. Yeah,
I could see that. I could see that, Jimmy, but it's harder to stay on top than to get there. And that's why you have to look at the ones that can stay there, Alabama, Georgia, to a degree, a very much lesser degree, Ohio State. We'll see how Michigan can do because Michigan's climbed to the top. But it's harder to stay there. But I don't disagree with you in any way, shape, or form. But that doesn't change my Clemson, my Clemson fandom or like of Clemson. Doesn't change it one bit, Jimmy.
All right, just reviewing your list, Andy. Georgia, NC State, Ole Miss, Clemson. Quite the Southern flavor that you have there.
Yeah, I'm a Southern flavor guy.
Who's number five on your list?
I'm going away. I am going to now move away from my Southern flavor, my shrimp and grits. And I'll take red eye gravy from Alabama any day and twice on Sunday. UCLA. They've always have been, always will be second fiddle to USC in Los Angeles. And, you know, you might have guessed by now, I kind of enjoy rooting for the second dog in the fight. You know, maybe the little underdog type guy or the second dog in the fight, I guess you could say. They play in the best. Again, everyone else line up for second place. They play in the best college football stadium in the country, the Rose Bowl. Seeing a game there was on my bucket list after watching it for decades on TV through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, watching the Rose Bowl, catching a USC game when I could. You know, I just thought that place looks so cool. And the stadium's iconic itself, but the venue, and after seeing that on TV year after year after year for so many years, I'm like, that's on my bucket list. Checked off, by the way. Oh my gosh, checked off and didn't disappoint on any level at all. I love their helmets and uniform colors. I guess I'm drawn to light blue for some reason. I don't know, Jimmy, but this is sort of the one team that I will say that I root for them. I will root for them, whoever they kind of play. They will never be USC status ever, 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 ever. But to continue to watch them sort of chase that West Coast style, and now they get to do it in the Big Ten, which is kind of weird, but either way, I kind of enjoy that the chase that continues to go on and probably will never end. So that's why UCLA made my list.
Well, Andy, where I agree with you, UCLA uniforms. Oh my God, they are so good. And is there anything better than when they play USC and both teams wear their home uniforms?
Just red and blue, red and eggshell blue. It's just, or whatever that blue's called. Sorry.
Well, isn't that like Robin, you know?
Robin something, whatever. Yeah. Robin egg blue?
Yes. But just incredible with the gold, fantastic uniforms. Yes, being that underdog to USC all the time out there, love it too. I think that's a great pick. UCLA, USC every year, I'm rooting for UCLA. All right, Andy, you've got one more to go on your list. Who do you got?
You know what, JG? You've unearthed my deepest, darkest college football secret by asking me this list. I'm going to tell everyone now, number six on my list, the New Mexico Lobos.
Jeez.
Yeah.
We need an explanation for that one, Andy.
So, yeah, I'm a Lobos fan. I lived in Albuquerque for nearly 4 years when I was a kid. Like, I was like 9 to 12 years old. So, yeah, that was in the 1970s. So, you pretty much had to go to the game or you got some highlights on TV or – If I read a newspaper back then, I could read about them. They're pretty much never any good. Their uniforms are atrocious.
Their colors?
It's like gray and like that. It's gray and what is that dark sort of crimson, that kind of Alabama crimson color with gray. And it's just not very good looking. And they always have blocky numbers. It's just not very good. They don't have much of an identity as a program, and they never have. They don't produce any NFL talent pretty much ever. Their stadium stinks. I mean, I played in it a couple times growing up when I was playing football, but I've just always felt tied to the Lobos. If they're on, I'll watch. And not very often do you get to see them, but in the Northeast, I kind of use my ESPN Plus and check out a couple, two, three games a year. I do watch and follow the New Mexico Lobos.
All right, Andy, quick question for you. I love the name Lobo. What the heck is it? What's a Lobo?
It's like a, it's a wolf of some kind of like NC State's kind of wolf. And it, I don't know exactly what the Lobo is, but I know it's some kind of wolf. I like the helmets where they use the New Mexico sun on their flag. That's my favorite. You don't see it very often. It's their alternative helmet, but that's my favorite. But it's still kind of ugly, but that's my favorite.
Now, we're audio only on our show, so people couldn't see Andy describing the Lobo as some kind of wolf. He had his hand up by his head, like I assume that's like the wolf ears.
Yeah,
there,
the wolf ears
that he was doing there. All right, Andy, an absolutely fantastic list. But we are done with the list. However, next up, it's Ask Andy. We're going to take your questions for Andy. He's going to give us the answers. And I'm going to be critical of them because that's what we do. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Andy. We take your questions for Andy. And if you want to send in a question, just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button. And away you go. Randy, are you ready?
I am, Jimmy. Let's do it.
All right, let's start. I think this is someone new for the question. Jim from Virginia Beach. Jim says, recently noticed that James Franklin is now in the third year of his contract and his buyout after this year has dropped down to only $2 million. That's him buying out. Penn State's buyout is, of course, $50
million. Right.
Seems he extends every 2 to 3 years. Is this going to be another year of constant rumors he's leaving and is due for another extension?
That is a good question. I don't know how James, how much further can James push the Penn State University envelope, right? Like, I think he's pushed it to the limits now, you know, and he has to read the room, right? Like, it's a different athletic director now, right? Like, Pat's the athletic director now, so maybe the room and the temperature is different. Not that I'm saying Pat and him don't get along. They seem to get along, you know, whimsically. But, yeah, I think that's so it's a good question because I wonder how far he can push Penn State. You know, they've got a lot of revenue things in their stream right now, Jimmy. They have a stadium they're about to overhaul. There's some cash involved with that that has sort of Penn State football fans kind of angsty already to begin with. You know, they're a little like, they're kind of got their teeth, you know, their fur up and their teeth, showing their teeth a little bit in terms of the dollars and cents. So I think, I don't think this is a year where you hear him leaving and a bunch of stuff, unless I think you'll hear it on the other side if this team underperforms. Because by all set standards, last year's team underperformed. Sorry, that team underperformed.
Andy, that's it. That's exactly the point. He's not in any position. He does not have leverage right now.
Right.
If he goes 10-2, they don't make the playoffs, zero leverage. 10-2 and makes the playoffs, he better win a game or two to have leverage. Because I'm also telling you, they may be in a bit of a rebuild after this season.
Correct.
If they excel this year, he may try to use that leverage, but and he may even contemplate somewhere else thinking, hey, I'm not sure I want to go through the rebuild that's involved. But anyway, to answer the question, Jim, I don't think he's in any position right now to make that kind of power play. All right, let's go to our buddy Tim in Port Matilda. All right, guys, we got to have a discussion about what Penn State's program can be. I have blue and white glasses on, so I'm readily admitting my bias. However, there seems to be this narrative out there that Penn State is not a national championship type program. I couldn't disagree more. Penn State borders Ohio, the DMV, New York, New Jersey. Furthermore, they've proven the ability to recruit nationally. If Penn State can break through, and there are several definitions for different people for that, but if that happens, there can be a floodgate open of big-time recruits. If Penn State can grab 80% of the top prospects in the DMV, New Jersey, the best New York has to offer in its own state, while still keeping its legs nationally, that's a top five class easy. The infrastructure is there for success. What say you, Andy P. Shea?
They are not. I'm sorry, Tim. I take Penn State glasses off, and they're not. They just simply aren't. They have a ceiling. They have a glass ceiling. It has been they can't break it. It's centered around Michigan and Ohio State. And the performance in those games when Penn State's played them over the course of the last decade, pretty much, there has been the odd sprinkled win here or there. But it is certainly the great exception rather than anything close to the norm. And then you add in on top of that, any team ranked in the top 10, success rate against those opponents, it doesn't matter to a degree whether Penn State was ranked in the top 10 or not. It is a opponent that is of quality, as similar quality, where the talent level might be a little more equal. The performance in those games has not been at an acceptable level in terms of what you would expect for a national title contending program. So, you know, at the top end, I'd say they get 80% there. 80% there. Yeah, I'm good. I think Tim, Yeah, Tim, I'm sorry, Tim, you're right. 80% of the way they're there. That next 20%, not even close yet. That's my answer.
Well, Andy, Tim makes some valid points. Well, first of all, his 80% was in reference to getting 80% of the top prospects Correct. In their local area, DMV, PA, New Jersey. The problem with that, Andy, is looking at this year's recruiting class, I don't want to overreact. However, seven top recruits in Pennsylvania all going elsewhere. You have a quarterback who's the number one player in the state, probably the best quarterback prospect out of Pennsylvania in years. You lost him to Missouri. Ohio State is coming into Pennsylvania and grabbing. You have not, and Andy, part of the issue is NIL. You're losing some of your first recruit choices, and this feels like the first year that it's really taking hold. Now, I know a lot of people, and I've been talking about this a lot recently, Andy. Oh, well, look at all these four stars they brought in. The problem is, Andy, there's like a handful of five stars, like 35 stars and 400 four stars. The gap between a high four star and a five star is much smaller than a high four star and a low four star.
Correct.
I do it top 100, top 200. Penn State has one top 100 recruit in this coming class, depending on which service you're looking at. Ohio State has 10 top 100. Andy, they're not recruiting, but I do believe that Tim is right. There should be an emphasis on your own region and holding on to it, which this season they're not. So I got to understand that. All right, Andy, here's a question I also shared with another one of our shows, but it was directed to you, so I'm going to give this one to you also. because it's fascinating. Sue from Howard says, you recently discussed the potential for earning revenue by renaming Beaver Stadium. I've been wondering, what if the Paterno family started a collective to create the Joe Paterno Field at Beaver Stadium? I've heard many fans refuse to donate to Penn State collectives until Penn State returns the statue of Joe. It seems those people might be willing to contribute to this collective. Would Penn State take that money and support the Paterno Field at Beaver Stadium? Before you answer, Andy, I just want to throw in a couple things. I do not picture the Paterno family starting that kind of collective.
Nope.
I could see another group attempting to do it, saying, hey, give us money to make this happen. And then Penn State would be put in a real quandary if they're told, look, we're bringing in millions of dollars to use for NIL money. Are you going to turn that down and refuse to name it Paterno Field? What do you think, Andy?
I think they would, only because I'm not sure. For two things. One, it's just sticky, right? Like when you talk about this stuff, it's just difficult because, you know, I knew Joe, covered Joe. I have and continue to have a respect for him on many, 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 many levels. But I just think it's tough. And when I break this down, I'm like, I'm not sure, even if somebody else did it and tried to do that, that individual dollars could equal corporate dollars. They're just, the corporate money is just going to be, can they be, it's not a level playing field. It doesn't feel like a level playing field. So for that reason, I think that would be tough. I think a naming on the field could be possible, but I don't think a naming of the stadium in any way, shape, or form would ever be anything realistic, Sue. It's just...
Well, Andy, she does say Paterno Field at Beaver Stadium.
Yeah, I know.
Now, that could be Paterno Field at Allstate Stadium, you know?
I know.
So it doesn't keep them from naming the field. But here's another factor in all of this, Andy, is... And I want to clarify this. She's talking about it being a collective with money that gets collected and goes to the players and using that. Now, it'd be different if it was like, okay, we're putting a group together to raise money, say, towards the $700 million we need for stadium renovation.
To the university.
Right. That goes directly into the university pocket. Versus going into the player pockets with NIL. I think the powers that be would rather have that money in the university pocket. Okay, if you could understand the difference. And yes, I do think Penn State administration, so they would like more money to go to players. But if I think if they have their druthers, if they are going to give up something, meaning they're going to acquiesce naming rights to the field, I think they want that money going directly to the university.
Yeah, so I'm going to say it out loud. I'm biased. I think it should. I think Paterno, now that you can do something on the field, I think it should be done. I think you can walk away from the past, but you can walk away from the ending because the ending was ugly, right, Jimmy? The end was ugly, but the end of long, long-term relationships for many reasons generally is always pretty ugly, right? Like it's not something that's pretty. I think they're forgetting the 3.5, almost 4 decades are kind of washed and sort of put together in the ending. And the end was ugly, but you can walk away from that. And I think you do walk away from it while also not forgetting it and put his name on the field. I'm just going to say it. I believe it should be something that should be done.
I think there are still people within the university who just are still scared of this.
Yeah.
Still feel burned by what happened and just say, look, we just don't want to go down that path.
They don't.
And I understand when it came up recently that there was some push for this. Again, if you read anything from the national media, they shredded Penn State for it, and yep, they always will. In our lifetime, Andy, that is going to be the national narrative. Penn State will get shredded anytime Paterno's name is mentioned. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter three. Lots more to go. Stick with us for quarter four.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Andy. We're having a good show today, Andy. First couple segments, we were talking about your favorite teams in college football. We also handled our Ask Andy segment, some very good questions. Now, Andy, I want to shift gears, a new topic. Dennis Dodd, who is a CBS Sports, very well-known, very reputable college football writer, he did some extensive work, and it was an interesting article. You and I are both fascinated by it.
Yeah, it's really
good. He put out essentially who's on the hot seat in college football. But he didn't just say, pick out four or five names. These guys are on the hot seat. He literally went through, 134 teams.
Yeah, 80.
And he ranked them at level of hot seat, level of pressure. And he rated it from 5 down to 0. Yep. 5 being, hey, win or be fired is how he describes a 5. And he only has one coach who's a 5. 4 means start improving now. 3 is pressure is mounting. 2, all is good for now. 1 is safe and secure. 0 is untouchable. Now, I have a little bit of an issue with how he set it up, you know, because 0, 1, 2, even 2, all good for now. And he has the vast majority of names are in those top 3 categories. So it's kind of top. I'm losing my microphone here, Andy.
You did for a second there, Jimmy.
Yes. What I was saying is I think his numbers are skewed a little bit in that, you know, he has the vast majority of coaches as being safe. I think it's over 100 of them are 2, 1, or 0s. And in the 3, 4, and 5, 3, pressure is mounting, 19. Start improving now, which is the 4. He has 8 coaches. And as I said, the 5s, he only has one coach in that category. So I think he's a little bit soft on these coaches, Andy.
So I saw it differently than you, Jimmy. I see 0 and 1 together, which he's got 57 coaches in that, which is untouchable, safe, and secure. I see 2 and 3 together, right? Like you went 0, 1, and 2 together. I see 0 and 1 together. Then I see 2 and 3 together, which is where the vast majority of them. And then the 4 and 5s are, you know, that's where the dumpster fires. And there's only 9 coaches that are either a 4 or a 5. So, and that's about the right number. You know, each year there's like 10 or 12 or 15 coaches kind of heading into the season on a hot seat. So I saw it differently, but either way, I thought it was an outstanding list. I liked his order. I found it enjoyable and fascinating. Thank you for finding it, Jimmy. It's awesome.
Well, the only thing, you know, Andy, I will say about that with the 2, he has coaches who are new coaches in the 2 category. Well, if you're a new coach, you're pretty safe, okay? I mean, they just did a coaching search and they came up with your name. So I think of 2 as being pretty safe and secure based on that fact. But anyway, let's go look at some individual names and where they stand, Andy. And let's start with James Franklin.
Yep.
What's interesting, and I did a major differentiation. I thought you made the major differentiation between 1 and 2. I said 2 and 1, you know, still seems pretty safe. But he has James Franklin as a one, which means safe and secure. What's your take on that?
Yeah, so I don't think he's a one, but I also don't think he's a three, which is, you know,
pressure sort of, mounting.
Yeah, pressure is mounting. I don't think he's a three. I think he's a solid two. I mean, you know, 10 years, 88 wins, big games, that's a different story. That's just my opinion. I think they underperformed slightly last year. So I think there's a little bit of performance pressure on this team. I don't necessarily think it's quote unquote falls straight onto him. There is some, but I think he needs this team to perform at or above. And he's been pretty good at bouncing back when his program has been through a little rough patch or underperformed. Remember the, you know, 19 and 20, I think it was a COVID year, and they bounced back from that and flipped the script and the narrative quickly. So he's very resilient. But I just think that is a two after a decade. I don't think he's a one like Dennis ranked him, and he's definitely not a three. So I don't think he's either one of those. I think he's a solid two.
Well, Andy, maybe I'm going to contradict myself by saying I'm okay with the one right now. And everybody gets reevaluated after the year. Okay. That's the nature of the business. I mean, we had, interestingly enough, the single coach who's a five is Arkansas with Sam Pittman there. He was listed as a one a year ago. And
yeah,
he's
that's
a five
brutal.
Now.
That's
so
brutal.
Things could change fast. But I do think the expectation level for this year for James Franklin, not just that the playoffs were expanded to 12 teams, but also he doesn't have Ohio State and Michigan this year. He just has one
Correct.
Of the two.
Correct.
He's missing Oregon also.
Correct.
And I also think, and what hasn't been touched on enough is that he's got a lot of star players right now who are going to move on. Your five-star quarterback, you know, Aller's going to be gone. Singleton's going to be gone. Catron Allen's going to be gone. Tyler Warren's going to be gone. Abdul Carter's going to be gone. Deni Dennis Sutton's going to be gone. KJ Winston's going to be gone. That's a lot of star power, Andy, that's going to move on.
They sent a lot to the NFL last year, Jimmy. They got star power. And
yes, they
year,
did.
Yeah.
But, Andy, they had the list of names that I just gave you returning.
Correct.
I don't see that same list of star power returning next year. Do you?
No, absolutely not. And here's the other thing, Jimmy. This season, 2024, some stars have aligned on the schedule. There's UCLA's on the schedule. Washington's on the schedule. Those programs a year ago would have been heavy-hitting monsters. They would be tweener games. Those programs are now in transition. No Oregon. No Michigan. There's a lot. There's a lot in Penn State's favor this year. That's why I think there's the pressure to perform for your list of star power. And my looking at, you know, how it looks on a micro level, I see their schedule is extremely favorable. And I think there's a little bit of two pressure there. That's why I think it's a two. They've got to perform this year, Jimmy. It's right in front of them.
All right, let's take a look at some other names and programs out there. What struck you, Andy, list?
I looked at Penn State guys, right? Like guys who have Penn State ties. Joe Moorhead at Akron. He's a three. Yeah, 4-20 in 2 years, but it's Akron, but he's got some heat in his kitchen. Manny Diaz at Duke and Bill O'Brien at Boston College, first-year coaches. They got the honeymoon year number one. And I also think Brent Pry at Virginia Tech, he's a two. I thought he might be a three. I know he made some strides last year. They're an off-season darling team. I think he's closer to a three than a two, but he saw him as a two. Ricky Ronnie at Old Dominion, good, not great, but, you know, kind of getting there, but he's a two as well. So those were the Penn State guys that I got. One other one I'll drop on you real quick. What? Why is Pat Narduzzi not a four? Why is he only a three? I'm just asking for a friend. I don't get what what's the protection? Is it still Kenny Pickett in that one season run? They're man, that's a four. He's a four.
Well, the reason why I think, Andy, is he recently signed a long-term contract.
I get it.
Now, this is me on the outside. There's that appearance that he gets a lot of support from the athletic director. The other thing is, and I think you hit it, kind of living off the Kenny Pickett thing, where a year ago he was a one, okay? So the jump from – this is after I mentioned Arkansas jumping from one to a five, the coach there. That, to me, is probably unprecedented. But I think for Narduzzi, I think there was that, well, it's hard to justify going from a one to a four, but a one to a three, you know, that's because of one season's results.
I get it.
But again, he's after this season. Yeah, I think it could, the seat could get a little bit hotter for him. Let me give you one or two. Ryan Day, Ohio State, was a two a year ago, a three this year. Boy, for a guy who wins a lot of games, that's pretty rough grading there. I mean, his overall record in 5 years is 59-8. In other words, he averages almost 12 wins a season.
Right.
And he's listed as a three, meaning yeah, pressure mounting.
There's a glass ceiling staring right down at him. He looks up, and there it is right in front of him. Why do I feel like he's maybe pushing a four rather than being closer to a three? And it's that missed field goal against Georgia, right, in the college football playoff. That's the reason, right? No, of course that's not the reason that he's, you know, a three or a four. That's one of many reasons. It's the glass ceiling. They can't get to the next level. There, every program has a next level. Even if you're a doormat, you have a next level. Can you rise to that? Ohio State has not. And, oh, by the way, it goes even to a next level, even at the highest levels, which is college football playoff level. They have a conference problem right now. Now, probably it's going to change, but they've had they got a Michigan problem too. Yeah. That's two pretty big reasons, Jimmy. So, yeah.
Again, some of this is, yes, I think the pressure is mounting on him. I mean, is a year where if they don't succeed, he may say, I need to get out of here. Couple real quick ones. Lincoln Riley went from a zero a year ago to a two. And I'm a little bit surprised. Brian Kelly is 20-7 in his first 2 years at LSU. And he's still listed as a zero. Yeah. I don't think any LSU coach is ever a zero.
I don't think any LSU coach is ever zero, but he's a square peg in a round hole, and he's making it work. He's at least a one then.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see where they end up with this year. Andy, that segment went really, really fast. That is it, though. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.